Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Episode 223. Tom, what are you doing? You sound
cleaning
like you're being...
glasses.
Oh, I thought you were being Darth Vader.
No, someone was just cutting grass right outside the studio and it's all up in the air and it's giving me quite the reaction.
And the annoying thing is we were caught by surprise as well, so we didn't even get a chance to run up and close the studio door so nothing came in because I'm not especially allergic to grass, but I can smell it up here as well. So
it's quite bothersome.
And I'm also worried about putting the AC on because I figure the...
Blow it around everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make any sense. Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by reliving your childhood and watching movies you loved as a kid while eating food you used to be obsessed with. Turns out Camp Nowhere, cocktail frankfurts with tomato sauce and lime green jelly are still an amazing combo. The town is in a flurry of gossip after the events of a few days ago. People are outraged, cynical, amused, and simply overhearing about it. But we feel it necessary to document it here for prosperity. It all started when Barbara Hannigan went to the post office to pick up a package, after receiving an email declaring it to be in that location, but it wasn't. So, Barbara felt the rage inside, turned into her true form, which, as we all know, is a giant grasshopper, and proceeded to hop all over town looking for it. Because of all the rain that we've had lately, her massive insect feet have left sizable holes in the ground wherever she landed. The council said she must pay for the overtime hours it's going to take for its staff to fill in all of these holes. She said no, they said yes. They're still shouting at each other over the gazebo as we speak. People have taken sides and it's tearing families apart. The package has yet to be found. Pencils have gone missing from all the high schools in the county ahead of the exams this week. Whilst there was initial panic, students were saddened to learn that the pen supplies were plentiful and their exams will still be going ahead as planned. Nice try, kids. Tim Dark will not be making his world-famous hot cross buns this year, much to the disappointment of many. He said he's left it too late to start and that time had simply gotten away from him. He should have had his first batch on sale on Boxing Day but didn't. There's now concern that he's lost his passion for baking and will never do it again. Someone must sneak into his house and steal his recipe so we don't have to go without. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. I've got a quiz for you that is just an easy guessing game.
I love that.
You just have to guess a number and
easy
that's
is
it.
Good for this week. It's been a week. Everyone's had a week.
You spent the week...
dealing with other people's nonsense.
Yeah, you were being the nurse.
Yep.
For people who had terrible colds.
Yep.
They didn't even get the COVID. They just got terrible colds.
Yep.
So that must have been fun.
It sucked. It's been an awful week, but I've watched some fun stuff, which is great. I've got a fun fact for you all that I can share.
I've watched something new.
I've also watched something new.
Brilliant. And combined, we've probably watched an episode of...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay,
we watched an episode of The Thing.
Yeah, of The Thing that we always watch. Well, let's kick into the news. I'll go first because today, which is yesterday, like on Wednesday, PlayStation revealed finally... what they are doing in terms of their PlayStation Plus, you know, the PSN, because they've been updating it and talking about updating it for quite a while, you know, with the Microsoft Xbox Games Pass, they had to do something right. So there's going to be three tiers of this subscription. Mm. The first one, they've renamed it to PlayStation Plus Essential, but it's basically the one that everybody's got now.
So the one that I'm already paying for.
The one you're already on, the one that I've already prepaid for 3 years because they had discounts.
Yeah.
So I did that. So you don't have to do anything.
Okay.
If you're happy with that, you're happy with getting the, is it like two or three free games a month, something like that?
Yeah.
You get that. You get everything that you've always gotten. If you want a little bit more, then you can go for the PlayStation Plus Extra. So with that one, you get everything that we get, that the plebs get, but you also get up to 340 additional games. Now, these will be older games like from the PS3. That's on cloud streaming.
there's an asterisk right next to that because certain countries don't have cloud streaming yet. That's Australia. So we won't get that. But you also get a heap of PlayStation 4 and 5 games that are a bit older, you know, a bit older. So they'll all be available for you whenever you want to play it. Mm-hmm. And then the PlayStation 3 is actually with the creme de la creme, right, which is the PlayStation Plus Premium. So you get heaps of different stuff, but I don't think that will be available here in Australia simply because it relies so much on that cloud streaming access. So we will probably, at least for the foreseeable future, just have our normal one, which is what they're called, you know, that's the normal one that we've always had. And then the tier above, which is the extra where you get, oh, it's actually up to 400 PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 games that you can have access anytime you want. It's a lot of games.
It is a lot of games.
And, of course, there are people complaining, oh, but it's not as good as my Xbox Games Pass. All right, well, why don't you just keep your Xbox Games Pass? No one's making you. It's okay.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Yep.
I'm sure as time goes by, they'll massage some of that. It's not coming out till June, so things may even change by then. But it's good to know that if you don't want to do anything, it's just business as usual for you. I like that.
And for us in Australia, it's probably just going to stay that because it depends what those games are.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they haven't said anything about doing day and date like Xbox does.
They said they probably won't.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, right? Because you think about some of their PlayStation exclusive games, like your God of War, your Horizon Zero Dawn or The Last of Us, like these are
Spider-Man,
like they throw a lot of money at those to make them look and play and be as good as they possibly can. And just to give that to someone who's paying $50 a year or whatever, I can't remember how much it is, something like that.
Diminishes.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they get a fair chunk of money out of that. But the interesting thing with some of the streaming, like the streaming stuff that we probably won't have, all of those games will be available, it looks like, from what I could tell, on PC. The older stuff. So that's really cool because that stuff has not been available on PC because it's all PlayStation exclusive. So that's cool. So many games.
So many games.
Showing, Shibby, and somebody stop me. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Hey. Do you like Ian McShane from Deadwood?
I really, really do.
Well, then you better get your peepers ready because he's coming to Sydney in May. He's going to be filming a program for Paramount Plus Australia, a drama called The Last King of the Cross. It's about John Ibrahim's rise to power, he and his brother.
Oh, right.
And Ian McShane is going to be playing like a King's Cross nightclub kingpin.
Yep.
Kind of guy, he's, you know, the elder statesman.
Oh, I can see him this perfectly. Like even him in American Gods, like I can just see that character being this
And then I didn't write down who's playing the Ibrahims, but their rise to power, specifically John's underneath him and then eventually usurping.
So Paramount Plus Australia, so that's that must be available for other countries once it gets made though, right?
Yes. So when we say that, so Paramount Plus launched in the States a year ago or something like that and then launched the Australia version not too long ago, but this is going to be one of their first pieces of original content produced in Australia for the service worldwide. And it's based on the book, The Last King of the Cross.
It's a real story.
Yes, which was well regarded in people that give a shit about that sort of stuff. I don't know. It sounds like Underbelly.
But, yeah, and I'm pretty sure Underbelly may have even had this story
sure
as a season.
I'm sure they did this one, yeah.
But, if you don't live in Australia, King's Cross, it's been cleaned up a fair bit now, but it was like the seediest place. But that's where you would – that's where all of Sydney would go out to be seedy.
From what I understand, if I'm referring to places that I didn't go to at the time, but it was the vibe of 80s New York mixed with the hedonism of Vegas.
Yeah.
It's just all strip clubs and kebab shops.
It wasn't – it's not even that big, really.
No, it's 200 meters long. It's tiny.
They packed it in. They really, really packed it in.
Mm.
What is the story that I was thinking I could?
How are you going to segue from
that? I've got a perfect segue, but I can't find it. This is it. Speaking of Australia, speaking of based on a book, Joel Edgerton is off to Apple TV, or Apple Plus, I should say, to make a 9-episode series based on the book by Blake Crouch called Dark Matter. I read or listened to this audiobook probably a couple of years ago, and it really stuck with me. It's all about multiverses based on a disease, almost like a sliding doors decision. Mm-hmm. And each sliding doors decision you make makes a different version of you. But all of these different versions of you think that you that they are the original you. And
how do you determine that you were the original to begin with?
Exactly. No. Oh, man, it messes with your mind so much. And you just go, all of these poor blokes are the same version.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm dying to see the absolutely everything all at once. Have you seen any of the trailers or anything?
I haven't seen it. Yeah. I've heard of it, though. Yeah.
Boy. I think that might be my favorite.
This one, I reckon you would probably give this one a crack as well.
I give any multiversal gear a go.
It's really, I mean.
And it's Edgerton's. Is Nash involved?
I didn't say his Nash name, but I wouldn't be surprised, right? But
they grew up near like a couple of streets from me and Delta Goodrum.
Oh, do you reckon they knew Delta? They're a bit older than Delta. Oh, okay.
I met Nash a few times around the roads.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Joel would have been in Melbourne for a while, though, filming.
Joel was gone the last by that point.
No, what was it called? Secret Life of Us. Mm. I think it was the TV show.
Mm. I don't know. I was quite a bit younger than them.
Yeah.
But, you know, out causing mischief in the streets, the heady streets of Glen Haven. Speaking of causing mayhem in suburban past.
Oh, segues.
Wendy McClendon Covey. Say that three times.
I'm not even going to attempt to say it once.
So she's the mum on the Goldbergs and also on Reno 911.
Oh, I love her.
Yes.
I know who you're talking
about. So she has signed a new ABC deal for season 10 of the Goldbergs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, they've lost Jeff Garlin over the season and things like that, so there've been some creative stuff and a lot of people were expecting that they would be wrapping up, but with her signing this deal, it does look like a season 10 is pretty strong in the cards. And it makes sense because it's the longest running live action network comedy currently on the air.
Hmm.
Always Sunny is the longest running live action comedy of anything, but that's over on FX, that's a cable network.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. The Goldbergs, did the Goldbergs have a spin-off?
Yes. They had
it was like set,
Schooled.
Like a
in the 90s.
Yeah, a decade later. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And that doesn't exist anymore.
No, they did two seasons.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and
right. So,
and look, there was a couple of years there where I loved the Goldbergs, but I stopped watching it a while ago because it's just the same thing every time.
Seasons is a long time.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
Long, long time.
But this could potentially be the last one if everybody seems to be surprised that
it's
going
ahead.
There
seems to be a lot of one-upping at the moment. The Grant Gustin, who plays The Flash, he's one-upped one season only contract on The Flash for another season.
Okay.
And whether that's the end or not, people don't know. Make a lot of sense. Maybe he dies and his kids take over.
I've got a segue.
So, show me.
Speaking of one more season, or at least a season, so Snowpiercer season 3 is done and dusted by now. Still yet to watch a finale. I'll be watching that over the weekend. But they're starting production on season 4 and have announced that you would know
my
him.
My boy Clark Gregg.
From Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, Agent Coulson as well in the Marvel films, same character.
Yeah. So he
Do
is
you know who's married to?
Who?
Jennifer Grey.
Really? Mm-hmm. That explains when I looked him up on IMDb why her photo showed up. Okay.
They've been married for a long time.
So he's one of those actors, because I haven't watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Yeah, but did you know him from The New Adventures of Old Christine?
Julia Louis. Yeah.
He's been on so much stuff.
West Wing. He's in West Wing.
When you look at his stuff, you're like, oh!
I knew your face, but these are all of you've been in a lot. So he's going to be in Snowpiercer season 4. No idea who his character is, but
what I understand is that one of the showrunners from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has jumped over. Is that right?
He has. Paul.
Go on, Paul. Paul's no last name. Our old friend, you know, close personal friend of the show, Paul, no last name.
I'm really sorry, Paul, but there's not many vowels in your name, and I'm just worried that I'm going to mess it up. So you just, you know who you are, Paul.
First letter?
Z.
That'll do.
Second letter, B. Okay? Okay.
Okay. Well, look, let me take the wheel and steer us back to safer waters of things that we do know.
Yeah.
One thing that we do know well is the Monty Python. You remember the bloody Monty Python? 25 years ago it was. The steel workers who took up stripping.
Oh, the full Monty, not Monty Python.
That's right. That's why I had to... It's getting a sequel series on Disney Plus because everyone's clamoring to find out what those guys were up to. Mark Addy, Robert Carlyle, Tim Wilkinson, the gang's all back.
Oh, my gosh.
Get excited.
It's funny because before that movie, you had, I can't remember, which actor was in Trainspotting?
Ewan McGregor?
No.
Robert Carlyle, yes.
He was like super, super violent in that and then... And then you had the other one who was in Game of Thrones. He played
Mark Addy,
Baratheon.
Yes,
he's like, well, those are two very violent shows and movies. And then in the middle is where they combine. Just have a feel good, get your gear off show movie.
Well, yeah, I don't know much more other than the gang's all back. There was a photo of all of them back.
Okay.
It's going to be following to see what the steelworkers turned strippers are up to 25 years later with their children now having children of their own.
Well, I'm assuming they're not steelworkers anymore.
I hope they're not still strippers.
Do you remember around that time, because that movie was huge, like hugely popular, around that time, and it was based on a real story, around that time there was another film called Calendar Girls.
Oh, yes.
And that was based on a true story as well, where instead of like a striptease, it was like get your gear off for a calendar for charity, which is what firefighters do now.
All the time.
Yeah.
It's a thing. Standard. I always get confused with that movie, Brassed Off. Do you remember that with Pete Postlethwaite and Ewan McGregor as members of a brass band?
And Ewan had that sort of like that very early Jamie Oliver haircut. Yeah, I know. I'd have to watch that again. It's been a long time.
I had to look on IMDb because in my head I was like, is Pete Postles? Wait, is
it's
he
good,
in?
Good name, though.
It's great.
Postles.
He's great in The Lost World, Jurassic Park 2.
Ah, okay.
He's the big game hunter.
Ah, right.
I'll only take a T-Rex, a male, a buck.
I've got one more. Just sit down if you're an Andy McDowell fan. And stand up if you're an Orlando Bloom fan. These two are teaming up together to make a sort of action thriller movie called Red Right Hand. Like these two people, you're like, which one's the bad guy? Because they both play good guys in most things that I've seen them in. Which one's going to be the bad guy?
Does one of them have to be a bad guy? Couldn't it be romantic co-leads?
I mean, that would be good, but they have chosen... And the bad guy is Andy McDowell.
Sure.
Yep. So the synopsis is Orlando Bloom's trying to live an honest, quiet life in a small town in the Appalachian Hills, right?
Yeah.
Then there's this queenpin big cat, right, who runs the town and forces him into her services. So she's like the mob version of just this small town. It sounds like she's going to put on an accent, but it can't be her own accent.
Why not?
Because isn't she from Texas? And you can't have a Texas accent in the Appalachian Mountains, right?
I thought Andy McDowell was British.
No, it's just that she was in Four Weddings and a Funeral. So you think she's one of the British, but she's not.
Right.
But Orlando's there, so...
Orlando is there.
He'll, given the choice...
Well, I feel pretty confident saying I won't watch that one.
But
sounds well made and well thought out and stuff... But is it?
No. I'm just like,
a crime fighting dog?
I wish it was. I just like the fact that Andy McDowell's a bad guy. I think that's awesome.
Sure.
I can't think of anything else that she's been a bad guy in. I haven't watched her in anything for a while. Have you got any?
I've got one other thing. This is not quite news in the normal sense, but whatever. So I'm sure I've talked about this before, but about 3 years ago, the X-Men world in the Marvel Comics got rebooted in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try and condense a whole lot of stuff that has happened to very simple, but basically the mutants, which the X-Men are, or the mutants all over the world decided enough's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an island called Krakow, which is...
Oh, you've told me about
this. Yes, which is an actual mutant itself. And so the mutants all decided they'd had enough of all of our bullshit. And all the
we're not nice.
And they have moved to this island and created a mutant sanctuary. And they've attempted this in the past and been attacked and it's fallen apart and all this sort of stuff. But this time there's all these different reasons of why it's working out. And the main reason being is that a lot of the former villains have been invited into the fold. And there's a council of 12 major mutants that steer all directions.
Are they famous ones that people would already know?
They are. I'll get to them in a moment. Okay. But part of this is the council has been charged with coming up with big thinking for mutant future. And so an example of the few things that they've done, Storm, Iceman, basically all the mutants that control weather teamed up with Magneto and Sunspot.
And Captain Planet.
No.
Okay.
They went and terraformed Mars. So Mars is a habitable planet now, and that's an offshoot for more mutants. They're colonizing space, and this that's called Arrakow, which is
Arrakow.
Mm-hmm. And Arrakow has been nominated as the capital planet for Sol, which is our solar system, in representing us further. So humanity's pretty pissed at the mutants right now.
You overrode us.
But the mutants have also developed, there's been big thinking of, rather than individual mutants using their powers and stuff, what if certain people were to team and to be a conduit and to act as a circuit? And so, I mean, there's one guy who's a shit mutant, everyone's made fun of for years, called Gold Balls, and his mutant power is, when he's panicked, gold balls fall out of him.
So it's almost like the... a Midas touch, except it's a Midas emotion.
Yeah, it's not helpful at all. Well, Jonathan Hickman, the guy that did all this reboot, was sat down and he's like, ooh, and he worked out five mutants that could combine their powers to bring people back to life.
Mm.
So mutants are immortal now because...
But not humans.
Not humans.
Okay.
So that weird hat thing that Professor X wears, the computer, Cerebro, he's programmed it so every 12 hours it captures a database of all mutants in the world and takes a snapshot of their psyche at that time. So if they die, a new body can be grown in a matter of hours and he puts them back in their thing. So mutants die out in the world. They, like Cyclops got publicly murdered, so he can't be Cyclops anymore. He's got to be Captain Krakow.
Oh, clever.
And he's
I see what they're doing.
So there's been all this sort of stuff and it's been building for years. And recently there were a couple of storylines where everything converged. And the secret mastermind behind everything has been a woman named Moira MacTaggert, who is a former lover of Professor X, and she is one of the world's leading geneticists.
Is she Irish?
Scottish. And so she has worked with mutants for years trying to understand this stuff. Anyway, he revealed that she's been a mutant all along.
Mm.
But her power, and it was fucking bananas, crazy power, is that she reincarnates with all the knowledge she learned from that life, but her and the brain in the womb.
Oh, so when she's born, she knows everything that she knew last life.
And the life. So she's... This is how he retconned of all these different Marvel Universe stuff. Of he came up, we've just been witnessing different slices of her different lives.
Mm.
And so this storyline has been following her 10th life, which is she lives for 10,000 years normally and discovers that either mutants team up with humans to try and take out AI or the humans team up with AI and destroy the mutants. It never works. Mutants always lose.
Mm.
So she was the one that's come up with the plans behind this. We need this island. We need it. She's been leading the charge. She's had to be secreted away. So no one other than Professor X and Magneto knew she was alive. And all this stuff has happened where she's been discovered and now she's on the run and she's been stripped of those mutant powers. So if she dies for real now, this is it.
Ooh.
But at the same time, she has worked with a human robotics expert and made a digital clone of herself.
Good idea.
So she's now a full villain and she's trying to take them down. She's out. A new storyline has begun. All the guy that's been overseeing it for the last 3 years has left. He's moved on, which sucks, but he's got other really exciting stuff coming in. And he's left it to Kieran Gillen, who is, he's the guy that made the Loki that everyone loves in the Marvel movies, this sort of stuff. He is a great long-form, very verbose English storyteller. He's launched a new one that the first issue came out today called Immortal X-Men, and this is the first public acknowledgement of their status. If you enjoy the show Succession, he's made Succession the comic book because it doesn't, it's not X-Men go fight. This is the 12 members of this council and the backstabbing they do and their plans. And it's brilliant because he's it's the internal monologue. The narration is all coming from a character named Mr. Sinister, mm-hmm. who was going to be played by John Hamm. And he is a 150-something-year-old geneticist who is obsessed with mutants and was a key villain for the X-Men since the 60s until this event happened and they all came together and they realized they need him. And he's secretly been taking genetic stock from everybody while they're on the island sleeping, all this stuff, and mashing up mutants.
Always someone who's gross.
So he's making
It's creepy, isn't it?
Instead of doing a circuit of having five mutants work together, what if I just took parts of their DNA and mixed them around
in
a test
one.
Tube? Five
yeah,
in
good
one.
Idea.
Oh, boy, he's going to blow everything up. And it's as if we're following an issue about politics narrated by Kieran Culkin.
Mm-hmm.
About the slimiest people in the X-Men universe. And, this guy can't stand Magneto and he thinks Professor Xavier's up his own asshole. And all this is – so it's such a different take on what normally happens with the X-Men. They're not being revered. This is just dirty, dirty political machination stuff. It's great.
Do you see a Disney Plus series out of this?
Potentially. I think – it's a very different angle to take on the X-Men, but it's one that has instantly stood out from the crowd and it's already springboarding all these different stories. I mean, there's so much. I hope that this is the direction they take with the X-Men. Have them be their own thing because it has allowed them to flourish over the last few years and get fucking weird. They're currently trying to develop their own religion.
So they've gone, guys, we don't have one.
Well, Nightcrawler, who's, he looks like a demon, but he's the most religious out of all the X-Men and this sort of stuff. He's trying to work out what's not a religion, but what's more the key facets and tenets of mutantdom that people should be living by. So they have their three rules, kill no human, make more mutants, respect this sacred land.
Yeah,
those
are the
three tenets, this sort of stuff. Sabretooth at the very beginning. So Karakar, obviously the island itself is sentient. And it represents itself with a tree. There's a tree in the middle that they can communicate with the tree. And it's got a face. It can talk, but there's only one mutant that can understand it. His name is Cypher. He can speak and understand every language.
Has the tree and Cypher had a fight and then Cypher refuses to talk to the tree? Because that would be cool.
No, Cypher lost an arm years ago and he has a robotic arm of an alien named Warlock who came to Earth and is obsessed with Cypher. So and they merged into one they became Duglock. Cypher's name is Doug.
Duglock.
Warlock, they became Duglock.
I like that.
So Cypher was already in a symbiotic relationship and now he's the tree is the only one that he can they can talk to each other. So the Warlock has gotten really upset about this situation and might be infecting part of the island. There is so much going on. Sabretooth, Wolverine's main bad guy.
Mm.
As soon as those rules were out, kill no human, jumped through a portal and went and killed humans straight away. They dragged him back to the thing and they said, we're not doing jails here. Tree, take him. And he's the tree has him wrapped underneath the island.
Like in Game of Thrones.
Yes. They all think he's in stasis hibernation. His brain's gone psycho and he's built hell. He's formed a psychic hell underneath the island. This is where there's so much scope and potential here. So I would love it to be a Disney Plus series, but I could see this being the basis for including the Marvels, the mutants in the Marvel universe from being different from what's been done before. It's so cool.
All on one island.
Ah, there's one series called X-Corp, which is about the you know, they have precogs, they have people that can predict the future. So mm-hmm. why wouldn't they have a financial institute that buys up stock?
It's the BIF.
Yeah. It's all, you know what? Cool. Oh, it's really yeah, good. Fun. It's really good. So, as I say, not really news. And thank you for letting me ramble about it because I was so excited to read it. I read it last night and then read it again this morning. I was like, oh, that's a good first issue.
So how long do you have to wait till the second one?
It's either 2 weeks or 4 weeks. Mm, not that long. But next week there'll be all the X-Men stories tie in.
Mm-hmm.
It's now one big pot. So we will get an alternate version of the story next week. Someone else's
from a different angle. Yes. Yeah, cool. Oh, okay. Yeah. You sound like you're in the midst of a really good story, and I hope it doesn't end in a way where you're like,
ah, no, the last guy didn't whiff it, and this Kieran Gillen does not whiff.
Okay.
He never whiffs. All right, that's another thing. Hey, do you want some trailers?
I would love to hear about
all trailers. Right, they're very quickly. So there's one on coming up on Peacock. We here are getting it on Stan called Killing It. I don't know if you saw this one.
No,
but
what's
it's,
this one?
It's Craig Robinson. I wouldn't say Craig Ferguson, but that's a different person. Craig that Robinson, is. Who was Daryl on The Office.
Yes.
He was in Hot Tub Time Machine, all sorts of this sort of stuff. He's a bit down on his luck and looking for some work. And Claudia O'Doherty, you know, the Aussie female comedian.
Oh, who's in everything?
Just Like Me. Please Like Me.
She's in everything. I saw her in something.
So she's his Uber driver. Right. And she's driving him somewhere and then randomly pulls over, jumps out of the car and goes and beats something violently to death with a shovel. And then comes back to the car with a giant python and shoves it in the back. And he's like, "Why, you can't put that back there." And she goes, "No, it's worth too much money." He's like, "What are you talking about?" And she's like, "Oh, there's a competition on at the moment. These pythons are invasive species here in Florida. And there's a big competition happening at the moment for, I think it's judged at the end of the month of whoever gets the longest kill, the biggest snake longest kill wins yeah. $20,000. And then the next shot of him is dressed like Dog the Bounty Hunter, ready to go and fucking
can't
kill snakes.
Stop.
It looks really fun. A comedy series.
I know what I saw her in last. She was in A Flag Means Death.
Sure.
She was Steed's wife. It was driving me crazy with the whole time. Oh, that sounds crazy. So that's Killing It. Yes. And we will get that on Stan.
Yeah,
here.
In like a week or two.
Oh, okay. I'll watch it soon. Then.
And the other one that is on Amazon Prime, I think it might have dropped the other day or it's this Friday, is called Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls, spelled G-R-R-R-L.
Oh, there's a few R's. Okay.
Yes. And Lizzo is having a reality competition, dance competition, to find plus-size dancers, backup dancers.
Oh, yeah.
Because she tried to work with different dance agencies to get talent, and they don't have representation.
Okay.
So it's celebrating the bigger, bolder personalities.
It's funny that you say that's on Amazon Prime because I obviously didn't have it in the news, but I remember seeing it, that Amazon Prime has also got a James Bond style, kind of like Amazing Race kind of competition that they're going to be doing. It's not out yet, I don't think. I think they're still looking for contestants. So it's interesting to see that Amazon Prime's doing some of these different kind of shows instead of, your Jack Ryan.
They've done great with some of the big stuff. I think they were surprised at how well the various Laugh Out Louds have done around the world.
Yeah, true.
It's very cheap for them to produce, but it does great.
Cool.
Hey, do you want a fun fact while I'm wrapping things up here?
I would love a fun fact.
All right, it's just a brief one. We were talking about the Full Monty. It's coming back early.
Yeah.
It's the only Best Picture Oscar nominee that year not to be nominated in any of the acting categories. No one who acted in it got in there. It was all about the story. Moreover, unlike the other four Best Picture nominees, it was not nominated in either support acting categories either.
I wonder if it's because you know how the Emmys don't tend to do this, but the Oscars do, right? They go, we're not going to nominate anyone who is in anything funny. If you're a funny role, you're not getting nominated. And I wonder if that's the reason.
Sure.
So it didn't win though, did it? I don't think it did.
No.
I don't remember it winning.
God, I think we'd remember if it were.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that would be a memorable thing. I think I might have to watch that again because it's, I think I saw it at the movies.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw it in the movies and that was enough.
Yeah. It was good fun, but it was just so topical. Like everybody talked about it around the time. And I think maybe it relied on a great soundtrack as well.
Some good tunes.
Yeah. I've got a fun quiz for you about like cop TV shows, like those detective, like crime-solving TV shows coming up for you later on. I want to talk about Amy Schumer's new show as well, but we've got to get into the watching suggestion before we do that.
Let's do that.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What have you been watching?
Man, I watched a lot. I'm going to bullet point two real quick and then jump into an actual thing.
Awesome.
My bullet point two is cooking-related stuff. One on Netflix called, is it cake?
And what's the answer?
You got to guess.
That's with the comedian. Yeah. I like her.
So it's got Mikey Day who hosts it, but Fortune Femster might be who
Fortune Femster. Yes. Yep.
She's a judge on one episode. A lot of SNL.
Oh, so she's not in all of it because I.
No. So the Mikey Day from SNL, he's the host and stuff, and they have the bakers.
Yep.
And then they have different judges with one celebrity comedian judge each episode, and Fortune is in the trailer a lot because she crushes the show.
Yeah, I bet. I hope they get it back then. How close to nailed does it feel?
Oh, very much that sort of thing. But it's less about watching people cook. It's not about that, but it's here's the podiums. Which one of these things?
Mm.
You got 30 seconds to guess. You got 20 seconds there. And so it's a lot more focused on the reveal, which is good. Okay. So the shorter episodes.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Because that's what you're not here to see someone make the cake. You've got to guess which one, because some of them is pretty tough. One of them is the bloody podium's a cake.
That's tricky. That's very tricky.
So I caught bits and pieces of various episodes. Shay watched the whole thing in one sitting.
Loved it.
I have been watching the hell out of Tournament of Champions 3, which is on the Food Network, and it is the best of the best. So you've got to have won Top Chef, Iron Chef, and or beat Bobby Flay to be considered.
Holy cow.
There are other ways to get in. If you've won, I think, 3 to 4 times on Guy's Grocery Games, you could get called up, this sort of stuff. And then you're seeded out. So it starts with 32 of the best chefs, most of which have competition experience.
Yep.
So they are big personalities. They know how to play. It's really good.
And also people would have seen them. So they'll be watching it to see.
You've got your personal investments of who you're following and stuff like that. It's really good fun.
Speaking of cooking shows, Steph got, what's it called? Hey You? I think is the streaming service.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I think that's what it is. Anyway, it's got all of Top Chef from the beginning to the end. And because during the pandemic, it was good to watch those kind of shows. You know, you get really invested in them, but the stakes aren't that high for you. It's not like a stressful thing. You're just watching people cook. And it was really good. And we watched a couple of the early seasons and then we kind of ran out of them because they were on Netflix, but Foxtel had the latest seasons, 2 seasons.
Yep.
So we watched the first maybe 3 seasons of Top Chef and it's like this 20 or something. We watched the last ones. Well, now we've gone back and started watching season 4 or 5. I can't remember which one it is.
Is that Chris Costadino? Is it Constantine?
I don't remember their names. I just remember their faces. It was really funny watching the competitors because you're like, you might have won or at least you've been in the top 3 or something because I know that you've been a judge in the later seasons, that kind of thing. It's just so amazing that kind of show has been going for so long and it's just such a simple idea. And that I guess maybe it's like Survivor. That's why it works. Such a simple core idea that they don't need to change up too much because each competition is different within itself. You know, like those quick fire challenges are always can be super weird or super quirky, right?
This one has a randomizer. So there's five things that get spun. A meat, a vegetable, a fucked up tool that you've got to use, a adjective and your time. And some of the tools are like popcorn maker or
dry ice.
So I guess a popcorn maker would almost be like an air fryer kind of thing.
Most of them, round one, it was pretty simple stuff. Like you can get your head around that. There was a carbonizer.
What? So you went? You end up making Han Solo?
One person made it to, instead of using soda water for their yeast. Sure, makes sense. The other person, it sounded really good. They'd already made a parsnip soup, and they made a corn foam just in this carbonizer, and then put it through the air fryer a little bit. So, just crisped. Put that on top
crispy
of a
bubbles.
Soup.
Crispy bubbles on top of a soup.
Yeah. Look good. It inspired me. I've been watching this, and so I'm pushing myself. I made a lazy dinner last night and still ended up being baked beans on toast with Moroccan meatballs on top. And then I got some corn going with a bit of karage. I don't know how you say it.
Karachi? No, that's
chicken. The Japanese chicken. I got it all going last night. Wow. So I'm feeling really lazy, but why am I cooking?
That doesn't
two
sound
meals?
Lazy at all. This is the opposite of lazy. Do you know what I had for dinner last night? I had avocado on toast with a fried egg on it.
Fancy.
But I didn't want anything too big because I was going to training.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to run around for a couple hours. Yeah.
Protein?
A little bit of carbs, a little bit of protein. That sounds great. I would watch that show.
Yeah, they've just done week one of the second round, so it's gone from 32 to 16, and then last night whenever I watched was cut that down further.
Now
there's already been some upsets.
Oh, I love Anaka.
Oh, big upsets.
Are they the people who no? Because then I was going to say, are the people who are super cocky and then they don't.
They are already not at this
they're
competition. Already,
yeah, it's too they're the wrong kind of people for that to
this
be.
This is Guy Fieri hosts it.
Uh-huh.
And it's no dickheads.
Yeah.
That's his deal.
Yeah. That's good.
There are people that are a touch more abrasive and stuff like that, but there's no one that's outright rude or wants to fight or anything like that.
I just want to go and watch cooking competitions now.
A couple of hours, you can do
that.
Yeah,
I can. I can not do it. Long. It's true. It's not long
But you
long
know what
now.
Else is not longer than a couple of hours?
What?
Fucking Moon Knight. Excuse my French. Normally we record on a Tuesday. Today is Wednesday. That means I'm excited for Disney Plus drops and I'm getting Moon Knight.
Okay, so that's tonight,
tonight.
Okay. Well, if I don't get around to it tonight, I can watch it on the weekend. It's fine.
It's going to fuck with your head.
That's going to be exciting. Mm. Yeah, I did read something that was coming up very soon. But I need to talk about a show because I didn't watch the Oscars because it's not 1993. And I know that Amy Schumer.
We have a watching suggestion podcast. Was there anything that you saw that was nominated for Best Picture?
Could I please just preface my answer with, until the incident happened at the Oscars, I wasn't aware the Oscars was on this week.
Oh, look, I was following along live as I always do. I don't watch, but I always have.
The live Twitter is good for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I haven't watched one of those kind of shows for ages. But I did know that Amy Schumer was on it, right?
Yes.
But I'd also been watching a new Amy Schumer show.
Oh, I heard something about this.
Life or Beth, because her name's Beth.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot of time for that title. I do like it. Life or Beth. It's good.
It's good. It makes you laugh. It doesn't make you pull your hair out.
No. So you know Amy Schumer. When you think about her like comedy specials or her stand-up comedy show, that sketch show called Inside Amy Schumer, it's like, it's that crass, I don't care, I'm pretending to be a party girl character that she has or at least had. Her character in this show is very different. In fact, the whole vibe to this show is very different. Within the first two episodes, some really quite heavy things happen straight away and you're like, oh, this is not Inside Amy Schumer Part 2. This is a dramedy where I'm pretty sure that this is following aspects of her real life and it does, particularly the earlier stuff where it's flashback to when she's a early teenager, you know, kind of coming to terms and all that kind of thing. I haven't watched a whole entire season yet. I wouldn't be surprised if there's another one unless it ends with and everybody dies and maybe not. But there's a lot of people in there that you know. There's If you have watched any of those kind of cooking shows like Nailed It and stuff.
They're all in there.
They're all those judges. They're all in there. And they're being funny and they're not being funny. It's all that kind of different thing. I quite like it because it feels calmer. Like those it's just a calmer kind of show. But just if you're gonna jump into it, it's on Star in Disney Plus.
Right. Yeah.
Just be aware those first two episodes are pretty like you're like, whoa. Okay, all right, go along with this, I guess, for a second.
Bit some heavy gear?
Sprinkled in, you know, but the last like 5 minutes of each episode is quite heavy.
Okay.
But then it becomes that sort of slightly absurd humor that you know her for.
So does it remind you at all of is it Afterlife, the Ricky Gervais one you really like, where it's tricking you to deal with some heavy stuff?
Yeah, it's probably, I mean – I'm halfway through,
yeah.
So I don't know for sure, but it doesn't seem to be as heavy as often.
Okay.
I think maybe they're top and tailing it with the heavy stuff. I don't know, but there are some pretty absurd characters like that Afterlife show.
Sure.
I reckon people will
I've
like
heard
it.
Many, if they many like good Afterlife, things about this. Yeah.
I think it's her, and I will be talking about this on the ABC on the weekend. As humans, we grow, and what the person that we were 10, 15, 20 years ago is not the person that we are now, right?
Right.
So there's no reason why we would ever expect a comedian and their sense of humor and their jokes that they want to deliver would be the same as what they were back then. And even though Inside Amy Schumer and that were, 2013, 2015, something like that, I feel like that kind of – She's moved
woke
a different.
Has happened since then.
And she's had a family, like she's married now, like it's a completely different life for her. And I'm excited now to see where she goes.
Yep.
And I like that about it, cuz you know, for me, Amy Schumer, I was like, "Oh, that was Inside Amy Schumer. That was funny, but that was years ago. If I watched it again now, I'd probably think it was a bit whatever, you know." But to see her comedy change as well. And I think she got the tone right for like late post pandemic, she got the tone right. It's that kind of we don't want the in your face stuff anymore.
Yep.
Just give it to us a little subtly.
Good on you, Amy. Well done.
Oh my God, they killed Kenny. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
Well, I'm going to give you one that was not subtle. In fact, it was like getting hit in the face with a sledgehammer in the best way. I finally got to see Jackass Forever.
Oh, finally!
I know, which. I had been going to go and see it at the movies, and then COVID and babies and
So,
it hit iTunes last night.
Okay, so do you watch it on your iPad?
I did, and I would have loved to have watched it on the big screen. Didn't pan out that way. It's good.
Would you watch again?
Oh fuck yeah! There's already parts that I've been like, Lens, I got to show you this. Come here. Go back and watch this again and stuff. The new guys were great. They inject a whole lot of positivity in there and stuff. Almost all of them. At some point, I noticed had the Jackass logo tattooed on them somewhere. Not as in they were getting a tattoo, but as in
it's already there.
It was already there. So it's during the credits, a couple of them talk about how this was like the ultimate wish fulfillment, that they grew up watching this show, that they love this show, and they're part of it now, and this sort of stuff. That really comes through. There is a recurring theme of we are too old for this.
Yeah. Okay. And that's kind of what the trailer felt like as well.
And there are points where they're like, we brought in these guys because we've paid our dues. Now it's your time to get hurt.
Yeah.
That's the stuff. There's some epic funny gear. Aaron Danger, who's the guy that has traditionally eaten the most shit, is the one that they stitch up with stuff all the time.
I think I know which one he is.
Holy crap, he gets stitched up in this movie.
Really?
In so many ways.
Do you think he's coming back?
Oh, yeah. He lives for this shit.
He enjoyed it, okay.
He gets challenged. One of his things is to help recreate, you know, 20 years ago, Johnny Knoxville did the cup challenge where he let little kids kick him in the nuts. This is Aaron doing the cup challenge, and it must have been filmed across a few different days, across a couple of different weeks, because he takes a punch in the balls from the MMA fighter recognized as the world's strongest puncher.
Oh, no.
He gets the world's fastest softball pitcher. the world's fastest hockey goal scorer.
Ice hockey.
Ice hockey,
yep.
And then I'm not going to tell you the last one because it's horrific. Oh, it's one of the worst things I've ever seen. I'm like, oh, God, why would you do that? Why would you let anyone do that to your body? Great fun. Jackass Forever. You're either going to love it or not. You
if
already
you loved
know.
It, yeah, you love it more.
I will say Bam Margera not being involved meant a lot of the nasty was gone.
Is that a good or bad thing?
A great thing.
Yeah.
A great. Well, because you think about Johnny Knoxville, Steve-O, Chris Pontius, the other guys, the main guys you think of in that show, all have uncontrollable laughter and giggle. Yeah, they something true. Happens, like, and that comes through all the time. Whereas Bam's whole deal is, he was always, before Jackass, his was a completely different crew, and they got brought together by MTV, okay. All this sort of stuff. So there's all these reasons. And they gave him thanks during the credits and stuff. And it does finish beautifully of, you know, there's a montage of here's them recreating stunts from 20 years ago. And
I think that's
and
a good
and
idea.
And this and this. Yeah. And then it just slowly, you don't even realize it, but it just moves beautifully into footage of Ryan Dunn, who's the one that died.
Yeah.
And the last shot is him doing something stupid and then Ryan Dunn forever. And it's just like,
oh, yeah, it's cool.
Good on you guys.
Yeah, that's nice.
A really nice way to address what did feel like, you know, it's really noticeable him and Bam not being there because they were the different voice. They were the too cool.
Yeah.
That being gone has shifted it. But, you know, all these new guys in, there's another dude that's fatter than Preston who just is excited to be alive. Jasper, who I've talked about in the past, I love. There's two African-American guys and a woman. And it just changes the game.
Yeah, nice. New personalities.
Oh, the woman has to do scorpion Botox. As in they hold a scorpion at her face and it stings into her lips. And the scorpion jumps off and falls on her boob. And she's like, get it off me, get it off me. And it's hilarious because Chris Pontius, party boy, comes up and he's like, I want to help you, but I need to ask permission to potentially touch your boob. And she's like, just get it off me. So the difference of the times is addressed in the show, and stuff that they used to do, which is really inappropriate and wouldn't do now, they don't go anywhere near, and they're more inclusive and it's cleverer and stuff. It's really well done. I can't see them doing any more with the older guys unless they're just egging the young ones on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a stunt that Johnny Knoxville does that is the end.
Okay.
In terms of the injuries he got, he can't.
Oh, okay.
It's over. And it's a thing that he's been doing for 20 years. It's not even like he was doing something crazy big and stuff. It was just, oh, no, I'm 50. My body said no.
Damn.
He also gets shot out of a cannon dressed as Icarus.
Of course he did. So that was on iTunes?
Yes, I grabbed that from iTunes. That's just come out in the States on iTunes. Mm-hmm. I imagine it'll be available here very shortly as well.
Amazing. Just really quickly, with Walking Dead, I hope that Aaron and Gabriel walk back slowly to the Commonwealth because they've got to come up with a really good lie. They've got to come up with an amazing lie.
Yep. Yep. While they're doing that, maybe Negan can think of a reason why a phone fell out of his pocket. The gun's out, you can see his iPhone peeking out the back of his
pants. I did hear about that. Yeah. We'll talk about that a bit later. Are you ready for a quiz?
I am.
I've written a sentence, Tom. In this quiz, I want you to tell me how many seasons these long-running crime-fighting TV shows are, at, or have had.
Okay. Crime-fighting, long-running TV shows, how many are at or had?
Like I said, it's just a guessing game of numbers. Okay. Just say numbers.
Just say numbers.
The original Hawaii Five-O.
Oh. See, I know the reboot.
How many is a reboot, would 10? You say? It's close.
9?
12.
The original had 12.
1968 to 1980.
Book them, Dano.
Booking so many of them, right? All right, this one had to be in there. Law and Order. Couldn't go without this.
I'm going to take a wild punt.
Is it 21?
Yes. It's 21. Nice. Well done. And you've watched every single episode, haven't you?
I've never seen an episode of that show. Is that the one that goes dun dun?
Yes.
Okay. I know about it from parody.
It was the one when we were doing the Facebook Live quiz.
Yes.
And we had the we would take a letter from a TV show or movie.
Yes.
And it was like Sex and the City and all that sort of stuff. And we just picked the and from Law and Order. And I think it's NBC or something.
We got done.
Yeah. So we had to appeal and they were like, oh, yeah, it's just for a quiz. You can have it.
You just used an ampersand.
That's right. Exactly. What about the bill, the UK bill?
Well, don't forget your coffee. Okay. You pop round the alleyway quick as you like. I'll pop round the front, knock on.
Hello, hello, hello. What we got going on here? Oi, stop.
I'm going to say.
You're nicked.
38.
26.
It's way off.
1984 to 2010. Now, I don't know what the ratings were like in 2010, but I can tell you growing up, Saturday night the bill was on. Everybody watched it.
So we had an old English babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
Mum and Dad would go out and Mike and I would want to watch wrestling and then 7:30 would roll around and fuck you kids. The bill on a Saturday night.
It's a staple. I wonder what time was it on, what day and what time was it on in the UK? It'd be interesting to find out if you do know. Let us know on one of the social medias. Blue Heelers. What you got to think about is there was that guy, can't remember his name, John Woods or something.
Yeah.
And he kept being nominated for the Golden Globe.
Many times.
What's it called? Logie, about 422 times. I think they were all for this show.
I'm going to say 14.
Very close, 13. 1994 to 2006. But Lisa McCune was always going to win, so I don't know why he was so hopeful. The Shield.
Wasn't that many, was it?
Not like the other ones.
Is it five?
Seven. 2002 to 2008. Do you know what I think of when I think of The Shield? Because I haven't watched it. Bald bloke. That's all I know. Bald bloke.
He was the thing in the Fantastic Four films. Oh, Michael Chiklis.
What's he up to now?
Right now, I don't know, but he was also on a show called No Ordinary Family with Julie Benz from Dexter and their kids, they basically the Fantastic Four TV show.
Okay,
they
great.
They got injected with some experimental formula and got some weird powers.
It happens to the best
he
of us.
He clearly wants to be a superhero in real life.
Who can blame him?
Who can blame him?
Final one, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's a cop show. It's a big fight crime.
Nine-Nine.
Counts.
Oh, this is going to be a tough one because it's jumped.
I know. The amount of actual seasons. So, yeah, you're right. It has jumped, but at least this is what IMDb and Wikipedia said.
I'm not saying this is my answer. Part of me says six, but another part of me says no, son. Eight.
It's eight.
It's eight.
To the no, son.
It was the two elsewhere.
Yep.
They don't get included on the OG box set.
Do you know, it's funny, yeah, because it did jump around and all that sort of stuff, and we've spoken about it before, but the fact that you can't find Northern Exposure anywhere.
Mm.
I found this Twitter trail of just people commenting on where it could be. Oh, my gosh, I really want to watch it. Why can't we find Northern Exposure? And I felt like directing them to you, but a bit rude. But there was honestly about 20 comments. I was really invested because I thought, oh, maybe someone will have the answer, but no. We're never allowed to watch that show ever again.
I told you, Ed, I will never see Ed again, and that just bums me out.
Two really great shows, just lost to weirdness, background weirdness. Ownership. Very strange. Tom, on that note, thank you very much
Da-da-da-da.